In Christ alone will I glory, though I could pride myself in battles won. For I've been blessed beyond measure, and by His strength alone I overcome. Oh, I could stop and count successes like diamonds in my hands, but those trophies could not equal to the grace by which I stand. In Christ alone I place my trust and find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. In Christ alone will I glory, for it's only by His grace I am redeemed, and only His tender mercy could reach beyond my weakness to my need. No, I seek no greater honor than just to know Him more, than to count my gains but losses to the glory of my Lord. In Christ alone I place my trust, and I find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. I place my trust and I find my glory in the power of the cross. In every victory, let it be said of me, my source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone. My source of strength, my source of hope is Christ alone.
Christ alone. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing that can compare to nor accomplish what Christ alone can accomplish. Amen. In fact, I would argue that an end never truly finds salvation until it's in Christ alone. Amen. Until it's in Christ alone. There is nothing else underneath are the everlasting arms. Our foundation on Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Amen. Well, it's good to see you out in the house of the Lord tonight. Find your place in the book of Acts, if you would please. Acts, and I'm in chapter number 26, and I want to read just a few verses of scripture here in a familiar story from the Word of God for Bible readers. Acts chapter 26. The Lord has been tremendously gracious to us this week.
Amen.
Here at Fellowship Baptist Church. And as we come to the last night of the scheduled meetings of this Jubilee, I'd like to say to the church how much we appreciate your kindness and hospitality, all the good meals, the nice motel room. I appreciate your faithfulness to our family and monthly support and your prayers for us, and I appreciate what you do for us. Thank you so very much. Acts chapter number 26. Now, in my time with you these days, we've been preaching on the subject, how in the world are you going to make it? You ever ask yourself that question? How in the world are we going to make it? And so we looked at some things that God has dispensed to us. We talked about the dispensation of the gospel. He saved us. And then in Ephesians chapter number 3, he talked about the dispensation of grace. And we found out that he has supplied us. And then lastly, last night we looked at Colossians 1 and verse 25. And we learned that there's been a dispensation of God. He satisfies us. There's something inside of us that longs to have a right relationship with God, our Creator. And only in knowing Christ as your Savior, Christ alone, will you find that which satisfies you. Amen. And I believe a man can be satisfied, don't you? I believe a man that comes to know Christ in the fullness of salvation will be satisfied. I'm glad the great physician has dispensed to us exactly what we stand in need of. Amen. And I want to preach tonight out of this text in Acts chapter 13. And I want to read beginning in verse, or 26 rather, beginning in verse number 13. And I'll read down through probably verse number 23 or 24. And then the message from the Word of God. I trust that they'll dovetail each other. And as I preach through these nights on how in the world are we going to make it, then tonight is going to be an assessment of where we stand. So let's see what the Holy Ghost says. At midday, verse 13, O King, I saw in the way a light from heaven. Above it, above the brightness of the sun shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of the things in which I will appear unto thee. It's interesting. There's that same expression that we spent some time with on Tuesday night, make thee a minister. Verse 17, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Let's just pause for a brief moment on verse 18 and holler glory. Amen. Amen. Man, I'm telling you, when I got it, I got it.
Amen.
And when the Lord saved me, I got a full package. Hallelujah.
Right.
And here's Paul as he recants his testimony. And he just said, man, when God saves a man, look what he does. He turns him. He said he opens his eyes.
Right.
He turns him from darkness to light.
Yeah.
He delivers him from the power of Satan and gives him the hand of God. He gets the forgiveness of sins. And
Amen.
If that wasn't enough, he receives an inheritance among them which are sanctified
right.
by faith.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Boy, I'm glad he does it right. Amen. He doeth all things. Well, look at verse 19. Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I'm not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, with whom I speak freely. For I'm persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. I finished reading there in verse number 26, and I want to preach on just a simple thought. I want to go back and look at verse number 22. I've been preaching these nights, and we've asked the question, how in the world are we going to make it? And so we give the answer. There's the gospel, there's grace, and then there's the essence of God himself. That's how we're going to make it. That's the only thing that's going to see us through these days in which we live. And so here we are on Thursday night, the last night of this meeting, and I want to ask you a question. How's it going? Amen. If we ask the question at the beginning, how are we going to make it? And God said, this is how you're going to make it. This is the prescription. Go get it dispensed, get it filled, and we'll see how you're making it. I said to Brian tonight, I said, how you doing? He's not been with us a couple of nights. He's been under the weather. You find somebody that's recovering from surgery. How you coming along? Amen. I even said to Miss Meredith tonight, how you making it? Amen. Well, where I come from down in Georgia, you know, if you know how it is. We have some sayings that when somebody asks you how they're doing, they really don't want to know. Right. Did you know that? Amen. And so you stand at the back door, and if you're standing at the back door and you say to a precious church member, how are you doing? You might better get a seat. Because you're going to find out all of the details of their struggles. Amen. Oh, my soul. Hey, I got to get to the pulpit. I didn't have 30 minutes. I just have a half a second. Amen. It really was just a courtesy comment. How are you doing? But you could be like my father-in-law. My father-in-law will make this statement. Every time I'm around him, somebody says, how are you doing? He said, well, I was better, but I got over it. I was better, but I got over it. Amen. And we have another saying, and it's kind of what I want to use tonight as my thought, looking at this particular passage of Scripture. It seems as though, as Paul is giving his testimony before Agrippa and before Festus, and by the way, he gets kind of excited about it. I think you ought to get excited every once in a while about what God's done for you. Amen. He got so excited, they said, man, you're beside yourself. Amen. Right. You've done gone off the deep end. Hallelujah. Right. Amen. Boy, the world ought to see something a little bit different in us. And here's what the Bible said. I believe it kind of come down, and somebody seemingly said in the unstated facts of the Scriptures, we almost hear somebody say, how you doing, Paul? How you doing, Paul? And I think he probably said something like we might say down in Georgia. I believe he said something like this, so far, so good. Amen. Amen. I'm doing so far, I'm doing all right. So far, so good. I know tomorrow's coming and yesterday's gone, but if I look back at yesterday and I see where I've come from, I'd have to say, so far, so good. That's what Paul said. He had a little more diplomatic way of saying it. He said, having therefore obtained help from God. Since God has come to my help, I continue unto this day. Amen. Boy, I want to say, so far, so good. Amen. Now, I made the statement earlier this week, I was saved at the age of 7, so I'm closing in on my 44th birthday spiritually. I started preaching when I was 10, so I'm closing in on my 41st anniversary in the ministry. And I want to say, so far, so good.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. I know tomorrow is still ahead of us, but I just thought I'd say, having obtained help of God, so far, so good. Amen. And I want to look at that with you from this passage of Scripture. Now notice that by way of introduction quickly, that there are some things that the Apostle Paul puts his finger on that are in his life that I believe have been the catalyst whereby God has brought him some help. You'll notice in verses 13 through 19, he talks about his deliverance. You want to know why God will help you? He saves you.
Amen.
Amen. Hey, let me remind you that you're a child of the King tonight. Amen. Amen. You have a relationship with the Father, and God is going to come to your aid and assistance. Amen. Because you're his. He reached down in the muck and the mire of sin and he rescued you. And blessed be the day that the hand of God reached further down than the sin of man had a hold of me. And God has set us free. He has delivered us. Amen. God helped him because he said, I delivered him. And then we see in the text that God helped him because he was not disobedient. That's what he said in verse 19, whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient. If you want to be in a place where God will assist you, make sure that you walk in obedience. Now, I'm not suggesting that we walk in perfection. One man said, do you preach perfection? And I said, no, sir, because I've not attained yet. Amen. When I arrive, I'll teach you how. Amen. But until then, I understand that we fail. But to openly be disobedient to God will be a sure way to cut off the blessings of God. Say amen right there. But he said, I wasn't disobedient. Hey, if God has called us and God has tasked us with a responsibility and we are setting about the best we know how to fulfill that responsibility, then it is appropriate that we can expect through faith that God's going to help us. Amen. So he said the master delivered him and the minister was not disobedient. But then notice in verse number 20, you'll notice that there's a multitude that is depraved. He writes to us, he said, I went to those that were at Jerusalem and then the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles. He said, man, everywhere you look, somebody needs Jesus. Amen. You want to know why God is interested in your success? Because he wants to use you as a light. Amen. In fact, I love this expression. In verse number 13, Paul reflects on the fact that at midday, I saw a great light from heaven. It was brighter than the sun. Amen. It was brighter. And by the way, if you read the 16th chapter of the book of Matthew, you'll find out where that light originated from. See, he had an encounter with Jesus. And just like they did on the mountain of transfiguration, his garments shine brighter than the sun at noonday in its strength. And once that man had an encounter with Jesus, there was light in his life. When you drop down to verse number 18, he said, I'm going to use you, Paul, and you're going to open their eyes. Now notice the next phrase. He said to turn them from darkness to light. You'll never help anybody else get to the light until you walk in the light. Amen. Amen. Until you've walked in the light. Hey, God's reached down in your sin and saved you and established you, and he's given us a task to do, and he looks out in this community and he looks out in the place you call home, and he reminds us that there is a world outside of the church house that's in darkness, and we have the light. They are in need and we have the answer. They are searching and we know what they're looking for because we are a participant in God's great redemption plan. Amen. Then lastly, you'll notice that God saw that there was a danger to the mission. Verse 21, the Jews caught him in the temple and they went about to kill him. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, God will come to our aid and assistance because he knows the difficulties of the trail that we're traveling. Job said, he knoweth the way I take. I don't know about you, but in my years, I found great comfort in that expression. Because there'll be days when you won't be able to see him. And the clouds will gather and he'll hide his countenance from you. But even in those hours, there's a great consolation in the reality that there's not an hour. Amen. The songwriter said that he's not near us. Amen. I got good news. It doesn't matter where you are, what you're going through, or what you're facing, or what the demand has been placed in your life. He is. There is the constant companionship and friend that standeth closer than a brother. Hey, I'm glad he knows what we're going through, and he comes to our aid because he's aware of the circumstances that we're facing. Amen. With that in mind, look at verse number 22, three quick thoughts and I'll be done tonight. Having therefore obtained help of God. Boy, that's where it's at, isn't it? Amen. Amen. I made mention, I think maybe earlier this week, about preaching in a meeting, and I looked up on one of the morning services in the service and Dr. Darrell Hayes walked in the room. Dr. Hayes is my friend and he's one of my heroes and mentors, and I'll be honest, there's times when I couldn't remember what I preached last week. But I can with great distinction remember 20 years ago what Dr. Hayes preached. Amen. I preached first that day, and And I was a lot younger then, and it got on, as we say. I mean, it really got on. And so I preached quite long, and folks were shouting, and the altars were full, and God moved in a miraculous way, and Dr. Hayes was the scheduled second preacher in that particular morning service. And I won't ever forget, he slipped up. The pastor called him up on platform to preach to us that morning, and Dr. Hayes, when he got up the platform, he kind of slipped over behind the preacher, and he asked the preacher, because I was still sitting up close to the front, "Are you sure you want me to preach?" I get that. There's times when you just wonder if God's done what God's going to do. And he said, "Are you sure?" And preacher insisted. The pastor insisted. I believe it's the will of God that you preach that day. I'll never forget what he said. He's a softer spoken fella. And he said when he walked up the pulpit, he said, "I feel like a gentle breeze after a whirlwind." He's talking about me. And he went on to say, he said, "But if the preacher wants me to preach, I'll preach." And he took a text. And I won't ever forget his title that day. He preached on how to make all your dreams come true. And then he took a text from that great passage that said, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he'll give thee the desires of your heart." It's still a possibility to have all your dreams come true. Say amen. If they abide in the will of God, your dreams can become a reality. And it helped me. Amen. And I told that story from the pulpit. He is sitting on the front row of the church. And I told that story just like I told you. And tears welled up in my eyes because he helped me that day. He fortified the servant that day. And I won't ever get tears welling up in Dr. Hayes' eyes. And he looked up at me and he said, "Glorify God. Give God the glory." Amen. It wasn't just a passing statement. He understood that if we've accomplished anything, it's been because of God. Amen. If we've helped anybody, it's because of God. Amen. If we've done anything that's been worthwhile, it's been because of God. Amen. It's not in us. Having therefore obtained help of the Lord, we continue unto this day. Amen. We continue unto this day. Three statements and I'll be done. Notice number one, Paul said, he said, "So far, so good, because we continue presently." Look what he said. He said, "Having obtained help of God, we continue in to this day." Amen. We got caught up in tomorrow. Let's don't think about tomorrow for the moment. Let's make today a priority. What he did say was, he said, "I'll tell you what, God hadn't failed me so far."
Right.
Amen. We hadn't shut her down so far.
Right.
Preacher got up on the first service and talked about how that 20 years ago, this was the week of the first meeting of this church. And I'm here to tell you, God has seen fit for 20 years to let the message go on. For 40 years, I've been able to fill a pulpit. Some of you, me and Dr. Thompson preaching. And all of these years, saved more than 70 years. You say, "Preacher, what are you saying?" I'm saying, I don't know about tomorrow. But by the help of God, we're still here tonight. You're still in the way tonight. The devil hadn't knocked you out tonight. He hadn't put you in hell tonight. You're still saved by the grace of God. You're still serving by the grace of God. You're still pressing toward the prize of the mark of the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. Hey, I want to tell you something tonight. He has helped us so far. Amen.
Amen.
That's exactly right. Notice what he said. We continue presently to this day. Amen. You know what that is? That's a reflection of the past. I couldn't help but think about Samuel. First Samuel chapter 7, if I'm not mistaken, we find the story about the children of Israel. They've been backslid for 20 years. And they got together because the Philistines were encamped about them. And they got together and they said, "Samuel, would you pray for us and ask God to help us?" And he said, "I'll pray for you." And he said, "Somebody go get me a rock, a stone." And they brought him a stone and they placed that stone before him. You remember the name of that stone? He said he called the name of that stone Ebenezer. And you know what he said that word Ebenezer means? It means "hitherto hath the Lord helped us." And now we're hoping and trusting and we have faith that he's going to help us tomorrow. That is faith. But he said, we don't have faith for the past, it's sight. And he said, "Hitherto, honey, I'm telling you that God has brought you through some trials, and God has brought you through some storms, and God has remedied some situations that man had decided was not remediable. And yet I want to say it's not of ourselves, but it is of God tonight. It's of His mercies that we're not consumed. Amen. It's by His hand that we're still pressing on. It's by His strength that we continue to serve. Amen. I want you to know there's a reflection on His path. He said, hitherto God's helped me. Amen. It wouldn't hurt some of us to look back down our yesterdays and to say, man, God's been real. God's been present. God's been accounted for. God's been everything I ever needed and so much more. There's a reflection of the past, and then there's the reality of the present. Not the future, Brother Oliver. Not the future, but the present. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Well, Paul said that if these Jews get their way, they'll have my head. But today I'm still preaching to King Agrippa. Amen. If the Jews get their way, if the Roman government gets its way, I'll be in prison for a while. But he said, today, Festus, I'm still telling you about the hope that is within me. Amen. May I remind you, the devil would have sidetracked you and set you in the gutters of sin a long time ago. You wouldn't be in a church house. You wouldn't be trying to tell people about Jesus. You wouldn't look churchy tonight. But oh, by the good grace of God, today, are you listening to me? Today, the buses are running. Today, the Sunday school program goes on. Today, somebody's in the children's church. Today, the missionary work continues. Today, somebody still gets a gospel tract. Today, somebody got prayed for. Today, somebody got told about Jesus. Amen. Today, somebody got saved. Amen. Hey, I'm telling you, God has helped us today. Amen. Today, the reflection of the past, the reality of the present, and the responsibility of the future. Paul said, if I live to get through another day, God will be there too. For He's promised me He'll never leave me. And He's promised me that He'll never forsake me, but He'll go with me always. Isn't that a good word? Don't you like the word always? I don't know about you, but that helps me. You can't dissect that. You can't decide that the Greek and the Hebrew and the Chaldean and the French and the German and the Italian all got together and it don't really mean what it said. It said what it meant. It meant what it said. And God said, I was there yesterday. God said, I'm there today. And God said, I own you. You're mine. And I'll be there tomorrow. Hallelujah. I helped you yesterday. I'm helping you today. And you mark her down. I'll still be there tomorrow. He's still God, and besides Him, there is none else. We've got some help today and help for tomorrow. There's the responsibility of our future. So we continue presently to this day. Then look, if you would, please, in verse number 22 again. He said, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day. Notice the next phrase. He said, we continue with purpose, witnessing both the small and great. I like that, don't you? Man, he had a purpose. By the way, he had that purpose. If you go back, you can look on verse number 16. The Lord said to Paul, rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of the things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I will now send thee. God gave Paul a purpose. And I want to ask you a question tonight. Hadn't God helped you with your purpose? Amen. Hadn't God been there to help you with your purpose? God's about the business that He gave us to do. He's not given us a task that's undoable. He's not left us to fend for ourselves. God would be too gracious for that and too merciful for that, too kind for that. Amen. Oh no, He's looking for willing subjects that'll give themselves for the hand of God can operate through them. He wants us to be vessels to which He can feel, instruments to which He can use, tools to which He can work. If you'll make yourself available, God will do exceeding abundantly above all that you could ask or think. And it's not some supernatural something that's mystical and magical, but it is the power that already works in you. As I tried to preach last night, God's already inside. He just wants to do something with you on the outside. They continued with purpose. Now, as I read that, I'm amazed by three statements. One, notice the convert. Paul was a participant in this thing. He was a participant, amen. He was one who had been saved by the grace of God. What we need in this life is some witnesses. Now, a testimony is what you claim, but a witness is what you observed or experienced or heard. Amen. And Paul said, I just want to tell you what he done for me. He said, I'm sure there's some other fellows around here that got saved by the grace of God. They're just as saved as I am. But he said, I was there on the Damascus Road when the Lord showed up. Amen. Hey, he's a convert. You say, preacher, you say, are you simply saying that if I've been saved by the grace of God, God has a purpose for my life? You got it. Hallelujah. Write her down. You got the point. God has a purpose for our lives, and he will enable us to fulfill that purpose when we are a convert. Then he said, there's a command. He was told in verse 16 to be a witness of these things. Don't keep it to yourself. And then there's a congregation. Look what he said. He said, I witness of these things just to the fellas uptown. Just to the top levels of society. No, not just to those that are deemed important. But he said, I witness both to small and to great. Amen. Oh, God has given us a congregation of big and little, wise and unwise, learned and unlearned, and he gave us a purpose to present them with the evidence of the gospel in our own lives. And he said, I'll help you. I'll help you. If you'll let me, I'll help you. I'll help you. We continue presently. We continue with purpose. And then he said, we continue preaching, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come. The world has decided that there's something better than preaching. You know, we can program things. Organization's a wonderful thing, but programs takes the Holy Ghost out. No. We can teach, and we ought to teach. We ought to be apt to teach. But teaching doesn't bring the conviction of the Holy Ghost. Oh no. The only thing that God has ever authorized as the genuine element to which the gospel is distributed to the masses is preaching. Amen. Through the foolishness of preaching. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18. He would save them that believe. Amen. He hadn't changed his opinion. He said, we keep on preaching. Now the world's against preaching. Hell hates preaching. Society doesn't like preaching. Amen. Everybody will get upset about preaching when they won't get upset about anything else. But you just got to keep on preaching. Amen. We were called to preach the gospel, saying none other things than those things which Moses and the prophets did say. We just keep on preaching. And he said, notice these things. We ought to proclaim the Savior. He said, we keep saying Christ, Christ, verse number 23, Christ. We don't have anything the world needs to hear outside of Jesus. Amen? We can't reform them. They don't need a reformation. They need a regeneration. They're lost without God. And the thing they need above everything else is a good dose of Jesus. If they can get a hold to Jesus, it'll make all the difference. They just need Jesus. He said, we proclaim the scriptures, and then we proclaim the Savior. And when we proclaim the Savior, we declare that Christ died for our sins, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day. And in the greatness of the gospel, they find a power that turns them from darkness even unto light. And then we proclaim the shining. Verse number 23, he said, show light unto the people. There's a shining. You know what that shining is? It's the reality that they can be saved. Amen. There's a Southern gospel song that's quite popular. God saves old sinners. Y'all know the song. The drunk on the street, the rich in his palaces. The history behind that song is interesting. The writer of that song had a family member that was a principal at a public school. And there was a janitor in that school that was just a drunkard. Just an absolute drunkard. She was a lady and lived a promiscuous lifestyle. The community knew her. Everybody knew her. She's just an old vile drunkard. Getting on up in age, her hair had done turned silver. And she was a janitor at that public school. The principal was a Christian. He kept trying to witness to her, trying to win her to God. One day he come through the hall and she was just weeping, her life in a shambles. He had her come into his office and she sat down across the table, and again he tried to witness to her. And through her tears, but of course she was heard to say, "Do you think God would save an old sinner like me? Just an old drunk off the street. Would God save an old sinner like me?" And the man that was the principal of the school hopped up from his desk and grabbed his Bible and ran around to the front end of that desk, and he said, "Oh yes, you're exactly the kind that he wants to save." Amen. Amen. That's the history of that song. God saves old sinners. That's the brightness of our light. If it was limited in its availability and only certain ones could get it, we wouldn't have anything to brag about. But we've got something that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Shall be saved. When I was a boy, I cut grass around the neighborhood for a living with a push mower. Somebody say amen right there. I don't even know if we knew there was riding lawnmowers. And I had a neighbor that was a little cheap. And my neighbor next door would wait until his grass was fairly high, 6 or 8 inches high, and then he'd call you and want you to come cut his grass. And of course, you had to work a little bit harder at it. And I won't ever forget, in the heat of the summer, he had called me to come over and cut his grass, and I was probably 10 or 12 years of age. And I cranked up that old push mower, one speed, didn't have those pull wheels that run on a belt system, amen. Oh no, it ran by the force of your arms and legs. And that grass was high and it was hot. And I started cutting that man's backyard. I got his front yard cut and his side yard cut, and I was working on the backyard, and I got about a third of the way or a half of the way finished from that backyard. I mean, I'm talking about high grass, and it made its mark, and I got about halfway finished with that thing, and the back wheel of that lawnmower fell off. Now, they're just those old plastic, rubbery, you know, hard wheels. It wouldn't, and just the bolt that held it onto the lawnmower just sheared, and it got worn, and it just popped. And I didn't know what to do. My old dad came home. He probably wouldn't appreciate that old dad part. But my dad came home that evening, probably 7:30, and I was waiting on him when he got home. I actually thought I'd done something wrong, somehow messed up the lawnmower. And I said, "Daddy, you're going to have to come out and look at the lawnmower." He said, "The back tire fell off. The back wheel fell off." And so my dad was tired and dirty. He'd been at work all day, and he came out in the yard where I was. And when he got out in the yard, he looked at that lawnmower, and he said, "Son, you didn't do anything." He said, "Just the old bolt just worn in two. And had a, you know, the ridge had been worn from rubbing against the side of the lawnmower." And he said, "It just wore in two, and it broke." And I said, "I'm supposed to cut this man's yard." And he said, "Son, there's nothing I can do about it tonight. There wasn't 24-hour Walmarts, and Ace closed at 5. Somebody say amen right there. And he said, "I can't get another bolt. I don't have a spare. Brother Freeman, there's nothing I can do about it tonight." He said, "I'll fix it tomorrow." And he must have looked at my face. And I said, "But Daddy, I promised him I'd have his grass cut today." My daddy looked at me, and I'm standing there kind of helpless, you know, can't do anything about it. And my daddy looked at me, and I looked at my daddy, and I won't ever forget Brother Yancey. He said, "Go up on the porch. Just go up on the porch." So I went up on the back deck of our house, which overlooked our neighbor's backyard, and I can still see it in my mind's eye tonight. My old daddy reached over and fired up that lawnmower. And his hands were bigger than my hands. And he could do what I couldn't do. And so he leveled out on three wheels. And he finished that backyard. Now he is tired and weary. And he come in, now he's covered in grass and sweaty. And pretty good task, you know, to level that thing up and cut it with three wheels. But he did it. Don't ever forget when he rolled the lawnmower to the house and put it in the garage. I won't ever forget what he said. He said, "Boy, go get your money. Go get your money." I remember I was in a meeting where Milford Biddle was preaching. Milford Biddle made this statement. I was a young preacher. He was an old preacher then. and I was a young preacher, and he made this statement. He said, God gave us a job to do that he knew we couldn't do. And as a young pastor, I said, that's exactly right, amen. Hallelujah, the preacher's got that right. God gave us a job to do that he knew we couldn't do. And then he said, he did it for us.
Amen.
Hey, having obtained help of God, amen. And then he said, but he paid us like we did it. Amen. Hey, you and I are enjoying the good blessings of God, not because we're anything, but because God has functioned in us and through us and with us. But it's not us. It's him. It's all about him. So far, so good. Amen. I'm telling you, the devil has fought us. Society has rejected us. But so far, so good. The brethren have forsaken us. There's been an attack from hell, but so far so good. We get weary in our struggles, the times have been hard, the burdens have been heavy, but so far so good. Just tell the devil, I'm doing all right. God's brought me this far. God will see me through to the other side. How in the world are you going to make it? God's going to help us. And up to this point, he's never failed, and he never will. So far, so good.